Hi, this is Steve, and this is the second introduction. Last time I introduced you to the clan, I went through what happened on FM 089 and what happened on FM 10. Now, as you can see from the text, we're up to FM 11. We've just started season 2. So I'll take you through what happened in the first season and where we're at in season 2 and what's the issue, so when the podcast itself starts properly, you'll know where we're up to. So first of all, how did this particular season start? Well, it was really started more or less by agreement, because what we did is we all decided where certain managers should be. First of all, I was quite vocal in deciding that I wanted to start in League One. This was after some discussion with Mike. Mike agreed that he would also start in League One, the two of us being the two heavyweights on the Hall of Fame from FM 2010, having won the most trophies between us. We tried to drag down with us, and successfully in the end, both Oliver and Kim, who recognised as being the third and fourth best, or the third and fourth most successful managers, again on FM 10. Surprisingly, Belly was absolutely adamant that he wanted to join us. So we had a look around at League One, and we all decided, more or less, that we wanted different clubs. Me, I wanted Sheffield Wednesday. They're a team struggling in League One, got massive potential, but all of that is weighed down by the financial burden upon the club. And I saw that as an attractive proposition, trying to rescue Sheffield Wednesday from the financial millstone around the neck. And if I was able to free them from doing that, we've got a good enough playing squad with fewer additions, sneakily on free transfers, that I could start getting up into the Championship. And once they start moving up, momentum get behind them with that massive stadium and a crowd base and a city the size of Sheffield, but perhaps I could take them all the way back to the Premier League and relive the glory days. Mike had similar designs on Southampton, who were a similar club, a massive Premiership-sized club struggling in League One, mainly due to financial difficulties like Sheffield Wednesday following their relegation. Kim, he was attracted for some reason to Huddersfield Town. Again, biggish club, decent ground, decent attendance figures, a bit more money than you'd have thought than Southampton and Sheffield Wednesday, and massive potential for Kim to take them all away. Belly, he was attracted to Charlton for some reason. And we warned him, because as soon as the demo came out and we were all playing FM 11 on the demo, what we could all notice is that Huddersfield, yep, decent club, they should do all right. Southampton, brilliant club, they should go up. Sheffield Wednesday, bit of a struggle, but they should be there or thereabouts. Charlton, on the other hand, they were a no-no. Every single time me, Mike or Kim play the demo, the manager would get sacked, and he gets sacked early on. They had unrealistic expectations, expected to be right up there, and it really would take an absolute genius with a load of luck in order to try and get Charlton promoted and keep the job in the meantime. We also got a new member, Johnny, and just to balance the numbers out, Johnny decided to come down into League One, and he got Peterborough. Ollie, he's earmarked Brighton, but due to commitments has yet to start playing. So, first season for League One started reasonably interesting, with Belly struggling down at the bottom end of the league, getting worse and worse and worse, until finally, to cut a long story short, Belly was sacked not long after Christmas, in 22nd position with about 10 games left to play. Meanwhile, Kim has started solidly. He rose and he rose and he rose. He hit the front and all of a sudden he accelerated. He really put his foot down, and by the time it came to about 5 or 6 games to go, he was so far ahead that he basically won the league with 5 or 6 games left to spare. Meanwhile, me, I'd hung on to Kim's coattails as long as I could before I hit a little bit of a wobble. And we're not talking a wobble whereby I lost 3-4 games, we're talking a wobble whereby I lost 3 games in about a 6-7 match period. but that was enough to let all the teams who had got at arm's reach about 5-6 points behind to queue up behind me and then gradually overtake. Johnny, unfortunately, had personal issues to attend to, and he went missing as Peterborough manager. His ass man took over, and would you believe it, he won 12 games in a row to come out of nowhere and steal second. Johnny left the clan briefly, so his ass man was no longer in charge as Peterborough appointed a new manager. All this left Mike, who was struggling and had a very insecure status because he was expected to get first, to slip under the radar and slowly and steadily creep back up the league. All came down to a very exciting last day. Johnny's Peterborough, if they won, they'd keep second. If Peterborough didn't win and I won, away, Exeter, bottom of the league, then I'd go up. Mike, he needed Johnny to lose, me to do no better than draw, and then him to win, for him to clinch second. Peterborough, they lost. Wasn't unexpected, but we did really think that they'd win. Me, I went a goal down early on to Exeter, got a goal back, and I pounded and pounded and pounded away at Exeter's defence. I just couldn't find a way through. I finished with a draw, which meant it all came down to Mike. Peterborough had the second position. I was a point behind. Wasn't enough for promotion for me. All Mike had to do was hang on and win his game, and that he did at a canter, 2-0. Mike was so far ahead in terms of game time that he was able to watch the last 10 minutes of my game, so I was going quite slow, which meant it was a real tense atmosphere, and that's the kind of atmosphere we want to introduce you to when we get the podcast up and running properly. So this brings us on to the championship season in the first season. Well, in the championship, we had, first of all, Stuart, who has done reasonably well on the clan, but never really had any periods of domination. He went Leeds United. Gear, who's one of the strangest managers you'll ever encounter. He had two wonderful seasons in charge at West Ham, winning the league. Another time he finished second. But the rest of the time, he did quite badly or not well at all. So it's going to be interesting as to whether Gear will continue in an erratic way, either winning the league or perhaps getting relegated. And in Leicester City, he's got a team that can fulfil his desire of spending a lot of money. Then we've got Joe, Mr. Slow, Steady, Reliable, Boring, as Freddie likes to call him. He's got Sheffield United, and Sheffield United are a club that if Joe really got going, could go all the way. Jimmy, he took over as manager of Burnley. Jimmy is the self-proclaimed greatest manager the clan's ever had, despite winning absolutely nothing of note on FM 2010. Jimmy was making all kinds of declarations after taking over at Burnley and telling us just how well he'd do. Will, who returned to the clan after missing all of FM 10, he got the job at Cardiff City. Nathan, he was new to the clan, new manager like Johnny, he took over at Notts Forest. I wasn't too happy with this. Of course, Nathan's in by majority decision, but what I wasn't happy with is Nathan's a Nottingham Forest fan. He's an experienced FM player, as he says, and to let an experienced FM player have the team they support and that team be one of the favourites for promotion, and not for us have media expectation first, then he really does have what I believe to be an unfair advantage. Could he take full advantage of it, though? That was the story. Davey, he got Middlesbrough and would have a real tough time in his hands, as Davey's renowned for being the worst manager in the clan. Freddie, well, Freddie had small clubs all the way through FM 10 and really punched above his weight, and people were waiting for FM 11 for when he's in from the start to see just how well he can do. But once again, he's taken over a small club, Millwall, who expected to go straight down. Can Freddie show what he was made of? So we moved on, and the season started in the Championship, and it was quite an eventful season. Nathan and Jim in particular were running away with the league. In fact, after 29 games, Nathan was top with 66 points, Jim was second with 61 points, and then we were dropping down to Portsmouth, Cardiff and Sheffield United. I should point out at this stage that Will had taken over as manager of Cardiff. He lost his first three games and everyone was thinking, here we go, the nutter Will. He's going to be up to his same old tricks. And Will was picking an unusual side, picking an unusual formation, not one of your standard asymmetric 4-4-2s, 5-4-1s, 4-5-1s, 4-2-3-1s. He was going with a real strange looking setup. Now, after he lost those first three games, he then reverted back to a more traditional formation and suddenly stormed all the way back up the league. And everyone thought, here we go, Will's going to be his erratic best. And that's how he carried on, charging up the league, then dropping back and charging up the league. And he looked set after 29 games, sitting pretty in fourth for a playoff place. Joe, he was doing well with Sheffield United, slipping under the radar, and he was moving into sixth by this stage. And the surprise story, really, was Stu, who was sitting in seventh position with Leeds. And all season long, he was gelling his squad and moving up and up and up into a position whereby he could challenge for winning a promotion spot. Meanwhile, Gear was spending millions and millions at Leicester, but not achieving anything. Fred, he was the real surprise on this clan. He was able to charge early on all the way up the table, and then as the season progressed, he slipped back. And as we look at a snapshot on game 29, we can see that Millwall are in 13th position, 10 points off relegation. Behind him, we go back to Davey, who's in charge at Middlesbrough, and Middlesbrough are in the bottom three. So Davey somehow has still got his job, despite being two-thirds of the season in, and Middlesbrough really expecting to be far in advance of 22nd, which can only lead us to believe there's some kind of problem on the game with sacking human managers, as Belly was doing something similar with Charlton, who had a media expectation of first and a board expectation of achieving automatic promotion. Now we move on to what the situation was on 39 games, and here we can see that Nottingham Forest on 82 points are really one away with the league and look set for promotion. Burnley still hanging on to the coattails. By this stage, Sheffield United have moved up into fifth, Leeds have moved up into sixth, and Cardiff had dropped down to seventh. The gap between Leeds and Cardiff being 5 points shows that Cardiff are really starting to fall off the pace. Davey, on the other hand, by this stage, has moved out of the bottom three and is a point from safety. A point ahead of safety in 20th. Meanwhile, Fred, who was doing so well with Millwall, was now only on 42 points and only 3 points above the drop zone. So Fred suddenly had a relegation battle looming. The league continued in such a manner, and then as we move through to the final table, we were able to see how Jim absolutely threw it all away and finished on 86 points, being leapfrogged by Portsmouth on 87 points. Excuse me. Of course, Nathan won the league at a canter on 94 points, achieving automatic promotion. Sheffield United hung on in fourth, Derby got fifth, and Leeds got sixth, as Joe and Stu secured playoff places and created a three human tie playoff fixtures. Davey was able to guide Middlesbrough into 17th and survive. Fred got a hugely creditable 15th with Millwall. Gear, he was able to put big spend in Leicester into 8th, which was a very disappointing season, but he no doubt will be encouraged by the end of the season that he had. Will was extremely disappointed with the way things had ended, slipping back to 9th, so much so that he started applying for jobs left, right and centre. What Will hadn't bargained on His reputation had not improved, and he was still left as an unproven manager, and therefore the jobs he was applying for in the Premier League was of a certain level that he had absolutely no chance whatsoever of getting any of them. So he'd applied for these three jobs, his board were not happy, he let it be known, and usually you apologise to your board and you keep your job. Not this time, Will was sacked. So what would happen to Will? We'll find out in due course. So we move on then to the playoff games. What happened there was that Jim had to play Stu. It was two tight games and Stu just emerged on top. Meanwhile, Joe put out Derby and created a playoff final between Joe and Stu. Joe won that extremely easily, as Stu's side seemed to have used up everything they had in beating Jim, so they had nothing left in the tank, and Joe joined Nathan in being promoted to the Premier League. Shouldn't be any surprise really with Joe getting up, as he's always been somebody on each of the games who always starts strongly and solidly before dropping away. In League One, I was the only one in the playoffs. I was able to put the disappointment of missing out on automatic promotion behind me by overcoming MK Dons and meeting Johnny's Peterborough in the final. At this stage, Johnny was no longer in charge of Peterborough. It went to extra time. I had more than enough chances to win it in normal time, and in the second period of extra time, Peterborough scored. I had no answer, and that was me. Resigned to a further season stuck in League One. So, in the summer, I wasn't at all happy, and basically, I've kept two players from that side that failed to achieve promotion and brought in no fewer than 23 people. So, where are we at now? Well, where we're at now is that we've played, I think it's three games in the Premier League, and Joe and Nathan are both doing quite well, really. Nathan sits in seventh, having played three games, won one, drew two, lost none. Joe sits in 16th, having won one, but lost two. In the Championship, it looks interesting, with Fred doing extremely well with his Middlesbrough side once more, sitting in third. Best manager the clan's ever had, Jim, is bottling again in sixth, having lost two games already. Stu's Leeds are underachieving in seventh. His board this time expects to go up. Kim's Huddersfield are doing well, adjusting to life in a stronger league in ninth. The next human's Gear in 12th. Big spend in Leicester again, struggling. Then comes a tight batch. 13th, right behind Gear, is Mike, with his Southampton side, who were adjusting well in mid-table to life in a higher league. Davy in 14th with Middlesbrough. He should be doing better, but this is Davy we're talking about, so to be 14th is real improvement. Thereafter, Johnny has been in and out of the game so far, and he sits in the bottom three, with Peterborough having retaken over after he sorted out a couple of issues in his personal life, which prevented him from concluding the first season. I'm the only manager in League One. I've only played four games, I've lost just one, but I've drawn three and I haven't won yet. I've scored two goals, got four goals in against. It's early days, so the ball's not too bothered, but, and this is what I know, I'm expected to finish first. I'm 9 points off top. It's a long way for me to haul back, and I think I'm going to be really up against it. The board, no matter even if I've gone a big run now and get myself unbeaten or a winning streak, by the time it gets to game 10, where the board starts to want to review where you're up to, they won't be happy, and I'll be insecure. The question is, can he keep it to insecure, or is it going to be very insecure? Because if I don't hit those playoff places quickly, I'm going to be up against it. Morale will take a hitting, and I might find myself sacked. I don't want to be sacked, because League 2's looking like an absolute nightmare. We've got Delhi, bottom of the table, played five, lost five, and I've just played him in the Johnson's Paint Trophy and thrashed him 6-0, and he's really struggling. Problem Delhi had is he's taken over a recently promoted side, being York. Because they're a recently promoted side, they haven't come from the BSP, so we don't have that league on the game. They've got hardly any players, so he's had to sign absolutely loads on a free transfer. Crazy Will, he's taken over Morecambe, having been sacked for the Cardiff fiasco of applying for jobs. He's faring slightly better than Billy, having won one, drew two and lost two. But nevertheless, he's in the lower reaches of League Two. Both of them look a long, long way from getting promoted, and it's going to take them a few seasons just to get things going there and pushing for promotion. By that stage, who knows where Joe and Nathan will be in the Premier League, who else will join them. And for me, just looks like whoever's going to be in League Two is going to be so far behind. Will they ever be able to catch those who've got into the Premier League? My thoughts are that both Crazy Will and Belly, no matter how well they do, are going to struggle. Some bad news is that Kim's computer has just died on him. So Kim, unfortunately, is looking at a 6-week layoff before he's able to play again. So his ass man's going to take over at Huddersfield. He'll be hoping that his ass man can continue to do well with Huddersfield, and that he can maintain his championship status, so that when he comes back, he'll be able to build upon that and try and push for promotion. So, you're up to date with everything. We're ready to go, and we'll send another podcast when the clan's up and running. We'll see you then.